I'm looking forward to unpacking the word with you today. If you want to find some message notes, you can do that. Just go to the Bayside Church Melbourne website or the app and you click on Connect with God and then Messages and you'll find the message, which is titled Strengthening Generosity. And this is part of our New Year restart. If you've signed up for that, you will have started that already last Monday. And if you haven't signed up for that yet, of course, it's not too late to start now. So I want to look at three principles with you today on how we can strengthen generosity in our lives. So number one, we need to understand that generosity describes God. Even a casual glance through the Bible gives us insight into the nature of God, and we quickly see that God is generous. And so rather than having one text today, I want us to look at several verses of Scripture that talk about God's generosity. Let's have a look first of all at Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Exodus 34, 6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. 1 Timothy 6:17, God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. In Ephesians 1:3, the Apostle Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. John 1:16, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Ephesians 2:7, in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Psalm 23 verse 5 talks about God preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I want you to notice the symbolism there, the table. And when God prepares a table for you, it's not an empty table. It's not just some old trestle table stuck out in the middle of nowhere. This is table. I want you to imagine this in your mind's eye. It's a big table. It's long and it is loaded with all the most amazing food. You've got beautiful, lush fruits and meats and you name it. And it's right there and God's prepared it in abundance for us. And our cup doesn't just have a few little drops in it. It overflows. God is generous. One more verse. From Psalm 36, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Aren't they amazing verses that talk about the generosity of God? Do you notice some of the adjectives there that are used to describe what God's character, what his nature is like? It talks about riches and lavished, abounding, blessed, abundance, overflowing and priceless. Generosity describes God. Let's look at some specifics here about God's generosity. So first of all, we see that God is generous with salvation. At the very heart of the gospel is the generosity of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's the heart of the gospel. Last week in my exposition of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, we looked at verse 8, which says, the living God who is the Savior of all people. God is generous with salvation. No one is outside of the reach of God's love and grace. Regardless of your race, your ethnicity, your skin color, your class, your creed, your age, your ability, or lack thereof, or your gender, God is generous with salvation. You are included in his salvation. Secondly, God is generous with life. Jesus outlined his purpose in John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The word abundantly there means life to the full, a rich and satisfying life. Thirdly, God is generous with love. In 1 John 3:1, we see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Let's just do a little deep dive into this for a couple of minutes. The words that are translated in English there of what great love. So there's one Greek word translated into English as what great. And the original Greek word is an interesting meaning. It actually means from what country. And so the question that John is asking here is, where does love like this really come from? The answer to the question, of course, is love like that is out of this world. Literally, it is from God. The question implies astonishment at the level of the generosity of the love that God has for each and every one of us. That includes you. And I know sometimes we don't feel like we're worthy of the love of God, but God loves us anyway, and that is the level of His love. The word lavish, the love of God that has been lavished upon us, means to be over generous and over abundant. There's an English word that comes from the Greek via the Latin, and it's onomatopoeia. It's an interesting English word, and it talks about a word that sounds like it means. Think about words like boom. It sounds like it means, or sizzle. Even when you say sizzle, you can hear the sausages frying on the barbie. Or it might be the word splat. It sounds like it means. Well, the word lavish sounds like it means. It's over the top. It's plentiful. It's excessive. And that's what the love of God is like. God is generous with His love. I love cooking, and one of my go-to meals that the family enjoy is a roast, particularly a roast lamb. And I love, you know, the crispy roast potatoes and, you know, the peas, the meat, the onions, the different sorts of vegetables, all of that. And I love gravy. I like making the gravy from the meat juices, and it's absolutely stunning. And some people, well, they just want a little spoonful. Others don't want any. But when it comes to my meal, I want to lavish the gravy. Like, I like my meal kind of floating. Gravy and mint sauce, and the peas are kind of drowning under it and rather than floating on top. And it's absolutely beautiful. That describes the love that God has for each and every one of us. We are lavished with the love of God. It is over the top. It's excessive, and God is generous with His love. And then, of course, God is generous with forgiveness as well. There's a wonderful story in Matthew 18, and I always think it's funny. In fact, I think it's funny with anything to do with Peter. What a delightful guy, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with him in eternity and having a bit of a chat. But he comes to Jesus one day, and I think he wanted to impress Jesus by the amount that he was willing to forgive people. You see, in Israel in the first century, there was kind of this unwritten cultural law that said you only had to forgive someone three times. So it really was three strikes and you're out. And so Peter comes to Jesus one day and he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And he says, "Up to seven times." And I can just imagine Peter coming and he's kind of worked it out in his head. You know, I know I'm only supposed to do it three times, but hey, let's double it and add one for luck. Jesus is surely going to be impressed by the level of my generosity of forgiveness. Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister when they offend me, when they sin against me? Seven times. And then look at how Jesus kind of deflates him a little bit by his answer. He says, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And some translations of that say 70 times seven. The point is here, not that God is counting, you know, "I'll forgive you 77 times or 70 times seven, which is what, 490. Once I've forgiven you 490 times, don't do it 491 times. The point here is that Jesus is revealing the level of the generosity of divine forgiveness. And what he's saying here is that divine forgiveness is unlimited and not counting. God literally will forgive you over and over and over and over and over, and his forgiveness will never, ever run out. As long as we come to him genuinely sorry for whatever we have done to offend him and his word. And so I wonder today, have you ever gone to God and asked forgiveness for the same thing many times? I certainly have. You know, it's like, God, it's Rob, and I've just done it again. and you feel a bit hesitant, you know? It's like, oh, no, I've kind of tripped up in this area over and over and over, and is God going to really forgive me? And the answer to that question is yes, he will. And isn't that wonderful? So good. God is so generous with his forgiveness. So generosity describes God. In Ephesians 5:1, the Apostle Paul encourages us to follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. In other words, imitate God by strengthening generosity in your own life. Last week, we looked at the words godly and godliness, and we learned that being godly is becoming more and more like Jesus on the inside, but it not stopping there. It's reflected outwards from our character and makes the world around us a better place. It literally is devotion in action. And so when we're generous and we're strengthening generosity in our lives, it's going to impact everyone around us. God's nature is being created in us, and we can reflect that generous nature in the way we live. And so, number two, generosity is more than money. And this is really important. We've already noted this with God, who is generous by nature and willing to share love, salvation, life, forgiveness, and so much more. But invariably, when we think of generosity, we think about giving money. Have you ever done a word association test? You know, someone says a word and you have to say the first word that comes into your mind. And so you might say the word future, and your response is past. Love, hate, dance, toes, fruit, tomato is the first word that pops into my mind, which is weird, isn't it? Because we think of tomatoes as being a veggie. Speed, danger, food, yummy, water, baptism. That's what Christians think of first. Music, pleasure, generous, money. And so invariably we associate generosity with money, but to be generous, a generous person, is so much more. The synonyms for generous and generosity are things like kindness and big-heartedness, as well as liberality and charity. And so we can be generous. Generous with our smiles and our hugs, generous with our love and our forgiveness, and generous with our time and with our attention. You know, one of my biggest bugbears in life is people not giving me their attention when I'm with them. Do you know that the average person checks their mobile phone 110 times a day? That means, I mean, that's an average. That means some of you are checking your phones more than 110 times a day. I haven't counted how many times I would check my phone, but it would probably be a few dozen. But one of my biggest bugbears in life is being with someone who's not really, I'm giving them my time, but they're not giving me their attention, and they're constantly checking this, and you know, I'm talking to them and they're looking here. So what I've thought is, which actually could be a very good idea, this is an Australian Socceroos scarf, by the way, compliments of Ethan Holden, and you're going to be hearing from Ethan in a few minutes' time. But what I thought is, like, getting a headband or something or other and then actually tucking your mobile phone, their mobile phone, into it like that, so that as you're talking, they can actually see your face and their mobile phone at the same time. And then you can say to them, you know, I know you still want to be checking your phone, but I'm hoping that at least I can have some illusion of having your attention at this time. I mean, try it. It might work for you as well. So there's a little handy tip, and you heard it first here on Bayside Church Online. And so be generous with your attention, because it's generosity is so much more than money. Thirdly and finally, generosity has little to do with what we have. There's an amazing story in Mark chapter 12. Jesus and the disciples are in the temple one day. People are coming in and paying their temple tax. And some people are literally, you know, peeling the 50s and the hundreds off and kind of waving them around so everyone can see how generous they are, and then popping it into the receptacle and then going in to worship. And then this little widow woman comes along, and the Bible says she has two of the smallest coins and she pops them in there. So there were 13 receptacles in the women's court in the temple, and that's where people would come in, they'd deposit their temple tax and then go into the temple to worship. And we're told that this woman had two of the smallest coins. These were known as a lepta, and in today's economy, they would be worth about a dollar each. So she's coming in with $2 coins and she's popping them into the offering to pay the temple tax. I often sort of read this story and felt a bit sorry for this woman, because she's just given everything she's got. Now what's going to happen? The good news is that the Jewish synagogue of the day provided food for poor people, very much as we do at Bayside Church. Anyone that's struggling financially, we will never ever see them go without food. And if that is you, please, please get in touch with us. Jesus then used this as a teaching experience, and he called his disciples to him. And I want you to imagine here, I mean, Jesus is literally standing here next to the offering buckets and watching what people are giving. I have never ever done that as a pastor, but I have chapter and verse here to do it if at some point in the future I choose to, because Jesus did it. Anyway, so he's standing there and he goes, come on guys, come around, gather around here. I want to tell you something. And he says to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. And I don't know whether Jesus is talking about all the others individually or all the others collectively, because he said they all gave out of their abundance, but she gave everything she had. And so generosity has little to do with what you have, and it's more to do with the amount you give out of what you have and what you have left after you have given. It's interesting to note that the church that supported Paul the most was also the poorest of the churches that he had planted. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And look at this. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. In other words, no one pressurized them to give. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I am just gobsmacked by those verses. What an amazing truth. I mean, look at these guys. They were going through a severe trial, probably deep persecution, and they were extremely poor. Now, you would think you would look at a people like that and go, hey, you don't have to be generous. But you couldn't hold these guys back, because even out of their severe trial, they had overflowing joy. Out of their extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. The Macedonian Christians. The capital city of Macedonia was Philippi, and a little while later, Paul was in prison and writing a letter that we know as Philippians, and he was writing to the Christians in Macedonia, thanking them yet again for their generosity. In Philippians 4, verses 16 and 18, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Wonderful truth. Generosity has little to do with what we have. Generosity is about what we do with what we have. Generosity is about how much we give of what we have. And so as we strengthen generosity in our lives, remember those three things. Generosity describes God. Generosity is more than money. And number three, generosity has little to do with what we have. Now, I mentioned Ethan Holden a few minutes ago. He is the owner of this wonderful scarf, and he's coming right now to share a couple of inspiring stories with you.
Well, thanks, Pastor Rob. It's a pleasure to share with you guys online today. And, you know, I'm going to share a couple of stories, maybe a couple of my thoughts on generosity. I know I'm only a young man, but I've had a few things happen to me, and I've gone through a few things which I think can help bring wisdom to you and encourage you as well. And now, normally if you think of testimony, you think, oh, some great outcome. But for me, what I love about generosity is that there's a bit of mystery. You don't always know what impact your giving has on people. So I really sort of enjoy that. And, you know, to me, generosity is a practical outworking of our call to love God and love others. That's what it boils down to for me. So I'm not going to share about, you know, being open to having a generous heart and listening to God and what He wants to do with you. And I'm going to primarily talk about financial generosity today. Obviously, as Pastor Rob mentioned, generosity is more than money, and there are plenty of other ways, but that's just what I'm going to focus on. I'll preface this by saying I only give out of what God's given me. It's got nothing to do with me or how much I earn, because generosity is about the abundance that God's provided in my life. And that's what I'm sharing with others. When it comes to being generous, don't compare yourself to others, because there's always going to be someone out there who can give more than you. But it's not about that at all. It's about you listening to God and doing with what He's given you and being in tune with Him, listening to His voice. What impact can I have with my resources at my disposal? It's about using your resources and time to have an impact in the areas where God wants you to have an influence. 2021 for me, I felt God saying that it was the year of radical generosity. And you might be there going, oh, that's pretty cool, or that's pretty challenging. And yeah, it is. And to me, I think what God was saying was just being willing to share what you have at all times, whenever people need it. And the radical part, as I said, being willing no matter when, where, or how much, which can be challenging. It's seeing needs and doing what I can to meet them. Can I solve everyone's need and solve all their problems? No. But I can do something with what I have. And if it's hard. It is hard sometimes, of course. But if you bring a generous attitude and develop this discipline, it becomes much easier. I definitely love giving whenever people are fundraising for a cause that's close to their heart. You know, it's very hard for me to scroll past a Facebook or an Instagram post and someone's advertising, oh, I'm raising money for this charity. And I'm like, oh, it's almost like an addiction. I'm like, oh, I've got to give. But it's not only because I want to give to that cause, but it's also because I want to encourage people, get alongside them and say, hey, you're doing a great job for raising awareness for what you're doing. You know, because the more generous people there are, the more optimistic dark situations become, because it shows that people actually care about this issue. You know those people who talk about when they've given or whatever they've given and they've gotten back in their mailbox or their bank account the next day or whatever it is? Well, I hate to ruin the mystery, but sometimes that might be me. Because God works through His people, right? He doesn't just produce money out of thin air, although He probably could. So sometimes, yeah, I might be called to help someone out financially, whether I know they're in need or not. A couple of weeks ago, I went for a walk after dinner, and that's already a little bit strange for me because I don't usually do that. But on my way back, I passed this car and it had a parking fine on it. And I had the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pay for this person's fine. And my first reaction is, as you can predict, no, I don't want to do that. I'm making myself sound very unwilling here, but this is the sort of dialogue I have with God. It's a bit like Jonah. I say, no, I kept walking, and eventually I turned around and came back. And I had a look in the car, and there was a baby seat in the car, and I said, oh, raising a child can be expensive. Maybe I'll help this person out today. So I went and picked up the parking fine, and I saw the amount, and it was $182. and that's on the higher end of parking fines. My last one was $96. Oh, sorry, I don't get parking fines. I'm a perfect Christian. But anyway, it was $182. And so I said, oh, that's a bit steep, God, but, you know, okay. So I went on to my bank account to make sure that I had enough money to pay. And I opened it up, and in my account was $182. I said, well, that's a bit weird. It's more than a coincidence. And I bet you're expecting me to keep going and saying, well, the next day I got some money or I got something out of it. But I didn't get anything. That's how some stories go. I didn't get anything directly in return. What's the point of the story? God gives us opportunities to stretch our faith through generosity and partner with Him to bless others. True generosity is acting out of the abundance and the overflow of what God's given you as a sacrifice and worship to Him in response to our mission as the church to love God and love others. If I ever doubted whether or not I should be generous, I think that experience for me cleared it up. The joy and awe after that experience was that I had listened to someone's voice and blessed someone in need. It might not sound like a big deal, those two numbers being the same, but I was in complete awe and amazement my entire walk home. You see, as I mentioned before, sometimes I'd felt called to give to someone or something, but I was never really sure about it. And I'd often think, gee, God, that's a bit random, but okay. But this gave me the confidence that I am being led by Him towards what He wants to do as a work through me to bless His people. And you might be sitting there going, well, last time I sowed into something, I didn't really reap. Doesn't the Bible say we reap what we sow? Well, yes, it does. But don't get that confused with some prosperity gospel teaching. You see, I know that we reap in so many different ways after giving. We reap in the favor and blessing that God has and will pour out over our lives. We might not even fully recognize it now, but as you look back on your life, you can see the hand of God being upon you. But we also need to recognize that God's already given us so much. Sometimes we think the timing of reaping and sowing is so reap, so reap, so reap. But God's already blessed us abundantly from what Jesus did on the cross, and out of that extravagant love for us, we put to work what He's given us. Because of what He's done for us, we should be living a life of giving and serving and being led by Him. And while everything I've shared is good, I've been selfish. I've been focused on myself. I've been focused on how much money I can make. And I tell you what, giving doesn't come into that at all. But the more I live and learn that as Christians we are called to be living sacrifices for God spurs me on to live a sacrificial life in all aspects of my life, including my finances. I love this verse in 1 John 3:16 to 18, which pretty much sums up a lot of what I've been saying. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. You see, church, generosity is having an open heart. Being willing to sacrifice what you have. It's a practical outworking of our call to love God and love others. There's endless opportunities to be generous, no matter how big or small they may be. But don't feel overwhelmed. There's no pressure to be generous, but have the attitude of asking God, what can I do with what I have right now? God knows people's needs better than we do, so I just encourage you to listen to Him. Let Him guide you. And if you find someone in need and something that you can meet, I just encourage you to go for it. Thank you for sharing this time with me today. And I'm going to hand back over to Pastor Rob.
That's awesome, Ethan. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love hearing stories, personal testimonies. I always find them so very inspiring to hear of the grace of God in action in our lives. And if you've got a story of the grace of God in your life, please let us know. You can email us connect@baysidechurch.com.au and we'd love to hear from you. I just want to focus with you for a couple of minutes about a very practical way that you can demonstrate generosity. In Titus 2:14, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." If you're anything like me, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you find within yourself this desire, this eagerness to do what is good. And as we strengthen generosity, and some of you will pick this or have chosen this as something to hone into, but really we can all strengthen generosity at this time. This is our Contribute Weekend at Bayside Church, and we would love you to sign up as a volunteer in some shape or form. And there's lots of ways that you can do that. And it's not just on Sunday mornings, of course. For those of you online, there are ways that you can serve the Lord during the week in many and varied ways. And Jimmy and Emma will talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. You can also partner with us at Bayside Community Care. And this is a regular gift that you might choose to give, please, above your regular tithing and giving, so that you're not taking from one to give to another. But you might say, okay, I want to give $5 a month extra, or $100, or $500, or whatever the case might be. Again, it's not about the amount. It's whatever you are able to, and that you have the faith level to give. And Bayside Community Care does a wonderful work. They have a number of projects locally in the Bayside area of Melbourne, and of course our Bayside Forever Home, which started a couple of decades ago in South Africa. Originally, we had quite a few boys in the house. Some of them have been adopted out to families in different nations. Others have now grown up in the home and gone through university and graduated, and they're in great jobs today. And so the investment that many of you have made over the years is paying great dividends in the lives of these young men. They have a wonderful future and a great hope. And of course, many of those young guys have now grown up and they've moved out of the house and they're living independently, which is wonderful. And that's also freed us up to bring new children into the home. The latest is Lakisa, and I can show you a couple of photos right now as I speak. We're not allowed to show her face, which is why you'll see that her face has been blurred. We are very happy to welcome her into the Bayside Forever Home, and I want to thank you for partnering with us in her life, as well as the other children in the Bayside Forever Home. We received this update on Valentine's Day from our Forever Home and from Acres of Love, which is the organization that we partner with in South Africa, who have a number of homes in Johannesburg and also in Cape Town as well. And they write, "As the world celebrates love today, we pause to celebrate how much love impacts everything we do." It's even in our name, Acres of Love. "We are deeply honored to love each child welcomed into our family, and every team member at Acres of Love views their work as their calling. We are grateful for the love and commitment of each of you, our global family, as co-laborers in this endeavor. In the last 7 days, we have welcomed 5 children into 3 of our homes. 2 were premature twins who have already required intensive hospital procedures. They have been supported by our mums and social workers and given the very best medical care. 2 were traumatized siblings who have already endured multiple placements and abandonment in life. Our social workers and mums visited them regularly at their orphanage to build trust as we waited for government paperwork to allow their placement with us. And today we welcomed a baby girl into the Bayside Forever Home. She was abandoned with a local drug dealer as payment for her mum's debt. She was rescued just before she was trafficked. Each of these stories begin with so much loss and trauma, but we recognize that God is the ultimate healer, and we are committed to help these children heal, understand that they are deeply loved, and know that they belong. Thank you for partnering with us today and every day to communicate love in every detail. We are deeply grateful for you and pray blessings for you and your family. Thank you for being a part of our global family. And it's signed Acres of Love. And so have a look at little Lakisa again. I want you to think about what this little child has already gone through in her life and what she's been rescued from. Abandonment, a world of drugs and crime. I mean, imagine her future, what it would have been like if she hadn't have been rescued and adopted into our forever home in Johannesburg. And of course, she was rescued just before she was trafficked. Because of your partnership with Bayside Church and Bayside Community Care, we are able to rescue precious children like this. 100% of what you give to Bayside Community Care goes to supporting our projects. And so can I encourage you sometime this week to go and visit baysidecommunitycare.com.au. You can select the donate button. It's a little green button in the top right-hand corner of the website. You can choose to give either to Bayside Community Care in general, or you can select a project that you're passionate about. It might be Matt's Place, feeding underprivileged people in the Bayside part of Melbourne. It might be our Bayside Forever Home. And 100% of what you give goes to support our Forever Home if you select that. And you can click recurring if you'd like to make it a regular gift, in addition to your tithe, as I mentioned before. And so God bless you as you do that. God bless you as you reflect and strengthen the generosity of God in your life.